Hour number two of overtime. We got to get a name for this segment. Top of the second hour when we just go off the rails.
Off top of my dome piece, real quick, we could go...
What in the world?
That's actually really good. I was kind of about to say something like that.
So, we talked before the break about some bad plane rides. And I just mentioned mine when I was flying up to Newark to catch a connecting flight over to Shannon, Ireland. This guy, I don't know if it was his first time flying commercial with this airline. It's whatever one of the smaller companies is under the bridge of Continental Airlines or United, whatever we flew. But, man, it felt like they put us on a javelin. I got long legs. I have the weirdest body. I have a short torso and long legs. And my knees were crammed into this thing. And this guy, turbulence all over the place. He couldn't help that. But the landing might have been the hardest landing I think I've ever had in an airplane. And I've been terrified of planes ever since.
The landing's my favorite part.
If it's a smooth landing, it's all good.
That's
it's when
true.
You just boom.
I always think I've landed before I've actually landed, and then the wheels touch, and I'm like, oh, God. What happened? But, I love the landing.
What you got, Davis?
The landings can be scary. I was telling Jake during the break, one time our landing gear just kind of malfunctioned. So when we hit the runway, instead of landing, we went straight back up. And so we made a little circle, and the guy comes on the intercom. He's like, oh, we have – the fire department ready on standby on the runway in case anything goes bad. So that was pretty tragic.
And you're sitting there and you're like, what the hell? Like, are you kidding me right now? Am I about to die?
Yeah, you know nothing about planes, so you're just full of just imagination. You said the what's on the ground waiting for us? Who's dead? You start panicking. There's no way I'd be able to handle that one.
What you got, Stack? You got any bad plane stories, or most of yours pretty good?
I've really never, I guess, never really had a bad plane trip. I've never really flown through a storm. I usually just sleep. I can sleep anywhere, though, so. I fall asleep literally on air and just wake back up and go right back to work, but I'm telling you, never had bad plane stories.
What about you, Brett?
I mean, I've sat next to people that have used the bag when they get sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, what? That sounds
horrible. It was just
horrible.
A small plane, a lot of turbulence, and this guy just lost it. Just
couldn't handle it.
You know, and the person next to him, he was panicking, about to come out, and the person next to him had to, like, hold the bag for him.
Oh, no.
So.
Would you ever hold a bag for somebody?
No.
God, no.
If I see that normally, I get sick.
Yeah, right? I'm not holding your warmth. Oh, God.
Holding your
warmth. Oh, I'm getting sick thinking about that.
Do y'all use the bathrooms on the plane?
Well, it depends.
Some of them,
it's
don't
long,
have a choice.
Yeah.
It depends on how warmth. Drunk you are.
If I really need to.
You should go as many times as you can in the airport.
I watch every person that goes to that bathroom and make sure I pick the right person to go after. You can tell who's a good person and who's not usually. First glance, you're like, oh, yeah, he's about to go in there and ruin things for me.
So, fun fact, that same trip that I was telling you about where I flew over to Ireland, you know, we caught a flight coming back from London Heathrow into Houston. And on your customs paper, you're supposed to fill out no on everything. That way you don't get stopped or whatever. I'm an idiot. I checked that I had been in a cow pasture or around food. I got to go in the special line. I'm like 16 years old at this time. And we go back, and dude comes up to me. All right, so what you been doing in a cow field? I was like, I was taking pictures of the highest point in Killarney, Ireland, sir. He's like, all right, man, I don't want to do this any more than you, but I need you to take off everything, leave your drawers on. And I didn't even notice. Like, it's in the middle of July, like in the dead of heat. And I had on a pair of boxers, and it had Santa Claus, elves, all that on it. He's like, man, if you're going to wear them, you at least got to wear them in the right season.
What? No, the only time you wear those is in the wrong season.
Oh, absolutely.
You only wear them in summertime. You don't even wear them for Christmas.
Yeah, and I had another experience. This one's just kind of awkward. When we had a trip out to where were we going to? Oh, it was when Army sent me out to California, and I had, like, my backpack on me, my digital camo backpack, because I didn't want to bring my own and have to keep up with it the whole time. And I set it down, And this lady sits next to me, and she's like, "Thank you for your service." I'm like, "You're welcome. My son's in ROTC." Oh, that's good. And she's like, "Do you have enough room, honey?" "Yeah, I'm good. I'm good." "You don't have enough room. Let me see if I can move seats. You're a soldier. You've earned this. Your service is so appreciated." Sure enough, she got up. She let me just have my seat and the seat next to me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Nice lady.
That is super wonderful, dog.
I appreciate that lady.
Yeah, are you kidding me? If I had any sort of space, like, that's super nice, especially because her son's just in ROTC.
Getting some feedback from the audience. One person says, "I like a runway, but also just a clear field is good too."
What? Be risking it for the biscuit, man. Ain't no way, dude.
Oh, man. What are some of the other horror stories that you've heard about planes?
I'll tell you, when you fly into Jamaica, it's pretty terrifying because you're literally over water the whole time, and all you can see out the windows on both sides is water, and then boom, you hit the runway. You're like, we're about to land in water.
I've never flown into Jamaica. I've only took a cruise to Jamaica.
Yeah, that was pretty terrifying, though. I was like, because I'd never been there. Like, where's the runway?
Oh, by the way, if you're ever in Ocho Rios, like on a cruise, do the excursion that takes you to Paradise Beach. You get two meals included with it and all you can drink.
How long
included.
Is this excursion? Oh, you get two meals.
You stay there for like.
Oh,
five
at
to
the
six.
Beach. Yeah, you get two meals at the beach.
Yeah, like
I thought you just
hours.
Meant on the excursion. Like, you
gotta
camp out. And
it is the best jerk chicken you'll ever have in your life.
Oh, my gosh, I love jerk chicken.
So, yeah, we're sitting there, and we find out because, you know, drinks are included. And there, at the time, they didn't care about the drinking age. So I was just graduated high school, grabbing a beer and whatnot. And my uncle says, "How many can we grab?" And they're like, "Two. Every time we come around, you can grab two." And he said, "I don't care if you need it or not. When they come around,
you grab them.
You grab two." So I'm sitting there, and I'm just about gone. Towards the end of this thing, and I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good, I'm full, I've got every beer that I need in me, and I actually denied the next round of beers. I look over, and he has somehow got finagled into buying the Bob Marley dreads.
Oh no,
that did not fit his head.
Oh no,
man,
that's a look.
Oh yeah. and then I got tore down at Senior Frogs like less than 48 hours after that in the Bahamas.
I need to take me a cruise, man. I've heard like mixed reviews on all cruises. Like some people are like they're worth it. Some people say they're not worth it.
You like exploring new food.
Dude, I mess with all foods.
You would enjoy a cruise because that's the one good thing about like Carnival, for example. They have a dinner night every night. One's formal, others you just dress like in a pair of jeans and a button down. But that's how I found out I like escargot.
Mm.
I love escargot.
It's good.
Yeah. They're like, "Have you ever had snails?" I'm like, "No." Like, "Get snails tonight." I said, "Okay. I got snails. I like snails."
They're wildly pretty decent, man. I've had them like once.
I've also found out how I didn't like a lot of things. Eggplant parm.
You like eggplant?
Not a big eggplant parm guy.
It's not horrible. Not horrible at all. There's worse things. That's my thing. Is I always know there's something grosser out there. I can basically get around almost any food knowing that there's something probably worse. But, as long as it's not too slimy. Nothing slimy, nothing coconutty, not a coconut fan. But, dude, I mess so hard with Jamaican food. Like, it is some stupid good food.
Have you heard about some of the meals that minor league players are given?
No.
I've heard it's pretty bad.
Oh,
like
God.
Baseball, minor league baseball and stuff?
So, you know, those guys only make, like, $10,000 to $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's if they're not on an MLB contract.
Horribly bad.
So, I follow this channel on YouTube, Antonelli Baseball. Matt Antonelli used to play for the Padres, was a first-round pick, played at Wake Forest. And he said at one point, it's like you're basically getting like a bologna sandwich. It's like because you have to pay the club fees, and then when you go on the road, the hosting team feeds you. He said there were a lot of brown bag lunches, and you've seen guys
That's
preaching that are
crazy.
Playing now. They basically brought out like two plates worth of spaghetti. And then they had to ration it between every guy that was there.
That's messed up. One, that they got to pay a team fee. So dumb.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, dude. Didn't they just, like, rehaul that where it's like a totally different landscape, or is it?
I think they are.
Or is it still almost the same, but they just like decorated with giving them housing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like with the minor leagues, you either get a bunch of your guys together and you rent a small apartment and try to fit everybody in this apartment that you can, or you can find a host family where the family says, yeah, we're fans of the team, we'll bring you in, you can live here for free, you can eat here, whatnot.
That's crazy. That's no way I could do that.
You just go into a random person's house?
Yeah, I'd be so uncomfortable.
And they do it for indie ball as well. Like, they have host families for indie ball.
That's what was pretty interesting about this, like, Shorzy show that I was watching. It's like the spinoff of Letterkenny. But it just kind of goes into, like, minor league hockey or just, like, adult league hockey kind of thing. But it's just, like, they all, like, seven dudes in, like, a four-bedroom apartment. And they're just, they pay for that, and they barely get paid to play hockey. They just play trash whale hockey.
Yeah, that's all they do. And the one I saw here recently was this guy. It was, like, in one of the indie leagues out in Arizona. And he had his host family. Yeah, man, I'm sitting here. I'm trying to just make my dream come true. Come to find out, he married the host family's granddaughter.
Oh, my gosh.
After he had moved in.
That's so weird.
And they were, like, all on board with it, too. It's like, you allowed, like, you've got the money to be a host family for one.
Imagine being a host family for a minor league team. What kind of person are you?
A pretty good person.
I mean, yeah, but, like, you're a super fan of a minor league baseball club.
We got super fans of the Smokies.
That's just wild to me because none of that matters. I just don't see. I don't know, man. I've never could get into, like, minor league sports where I just dive in. If it has no bearing or weight in the world.
I was more, like, on the grandparents in this situation, the host family. It's like, this guy literally makes no money playing indie ball.
Yeah, you
let
know
your granddaughter marry this broke bum.
Yeah, you know he makes nothing because he's living with you, so. Where do they go from there? She's just going to raise them. That's so, it's messed up how they do minor league people that, like that.
It's pretty bad, man.
It's so funny. You're not wrong.
Yeah, that's a good channel. You need to check that out, man. Antonelli Baseball. He talks about, like, deals and stuff because, like, if you don't sign, like, deals with an apparel company, a shoe company, a bat company, like, you basically got to buy your own stuff. He said he never signed a bat deal because he was afraid of, like, Louisville Slugger having the best bat at the time. But then, like, Easton or Marucci coming out with a better bat. So, he didn't sign a bat deal, but he signed a deal with Nike. And one of the things that they gave him was a fielding glove. He said Nike's gloves were the worst gloves that he'd ever put on his hand.
Dude, I had a Nike outfielder's glove, actually, in high school. And after a year, it turned... No, I kid you not. This glove literally, over one summer of just sitting still, kind of just me playing football over that season of football to baseball, turned into goop. Like, I mean, like, literal, like flexi tape, that flex seal stuff. Like, if you just sprayed a strip of it and just wibbled it around, it was the grossest thing I've ever put my hand in. It was like moldable goop after a season of not using. I don't know what happened to it, but it was the grossest thing I've ever touched.
I think everyone in here could probably agree that Rawlings and Mizuno probably make the best gloves. Or Wilson.
A2K, baby. A2000, dude. That's my glove of choice.
But he said the glove from Nike was so uncomfortable that he had to reach out to his agent to get him a Rawlings glove with no branding on it. And they basically took a Sharpie and did a Nike check with it. And he got caught.
I'd wear nothing Nike but shoes, really. Nike cleats, Nike gloves, maybe, but I don't know if I wouldn't use a Nike bat. I wouldn't use a Nike.
Oh, Nike's golf clubs were terrible.
Really? That's insane.
Right, you can vouch for that.
Yeah, I never had a set, but I've definitely hit them a few times. Yeah,
they were not good clubs.
Yeah. Didn't they have a deal with like Tiger and stuff?
Yeah,
they don't even make them anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing is like they were so bad that they don't even make them anymore. And
he never used those clubs.
Tiger did use the clubs.
Oh, he did?
He just never used the putter. He stayed with the Scotty Cameron putter.
Okay. Yeah, because
might even still use it.
He probably does. I mean, that's one of those clubs. Like, once you find a good putter, you don't get rid of that putter.
I use the Flamingo on 2K21. I'm telling you, I've been raging. PGA 2K21 lately. Me and my buddy, I have like two friends. We'll get online. We'll play 18 holes of like some customized course or something like that. And it has been the most entertaining video game I've played in so long. Because if you hit a chip shot in, dude, gets my blood boiling, dog. I'll do victory laps around the house, man. It's been a blast.
I got to get you out on the links. I got to see this.
Oh, dude, I'm a pest on the links, dude. I love it. I've only been one time, and I just suck. I need to go to the driving range first and get comfortable swinging.
Davis, you a big golf guy?
I play a little bit. I had to take a golf class last semester, so that got me playing a little bit more, twice a week.
That's what I should have done.
I took a golf class once. That was during my semester where my classes were...
Got that 4.0, baby!
It was media writing 4,800, and I had to have like a special exemption to get in this class. The teacher was cool. She knew what I was doing, and she was like, yeah, we'll do it for you. And then she was like, yeah, you got to take a bunch of bullcrap classes. I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm going to tell you what you need to take. I'm going to get you to a 4.0. You're going to make the dean's list. Sure enough, I had a 4.0 and I made the dean's list by taking media writing 4,800, made an A, beginning weightlifting, beginning basketball, beginning golf, coaching and officiating basketball, and coaching and officiating football. 18 credit hours. I had a 4.0. Made the dean's list. My mom didn't know about this. She probably does now because she's probably listening. But yeah, mama, your boy made the dean's list.
That's a strenuous class schedule, man. You must have been stressing every night, not going out, nothing, no parties, nothing, man.
Well, yeah, man, it was so tough.
Oh, God, just books, man, the books.
Well, I mean, you know, the beginning weightlifting, you're basically paying to work out. It's like, well, why would I pay for a gym membership when I have to go to this class twice a week?
I feel like that's pretty nice, though. That's what I liked about high school. Just kind of forced you to work out.
Oh, man. We had funny guys in that class. That was a great class. Some of them were just, you know, your typical meathead you see at the gym. And then we had this one dude in there. He played on the football team, and he had never done some of the weightlifting routines that we were doing. And even we were sketched out, and he's like, no, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing it. That's a trap. We're not doing it. That's a trap. And he's like, none of y'all are doing this? No. And the guy's name was Blake that taught the class, because it's not an actual, like, trainer doing it. It's pretty much someone with their trying to get their master's, and they're just teaching just because.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Guys don't care. They just give everybody an A. All right, I got to dip out of here. Stackhouse.
It's my show now? You're not going to dig a hole, are you?
I've got to go finish digging the hole.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. Poor Hickman. All right. Yeah. I will see you guys tomorrow. Stackhouse is going to take y'all home. Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Your pet is...
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is now my show. This is Overtime. I'm in charge. We are in trouble. You're not wrong. But I'll start off my inaugural owning of the show with a little Tennessee talk. And you know, we're 10 days away now from the Volunteer Club kickoff event that we got happening up here, and I'm just going to ask you guys here, just I mean, what's y'all's thoughts on this? How big is it going to be for the club, for the program, you know, and what does that bring? Because let's see, 10 days away, it's going to be out at the Graduate Knoxville and the Saloon 16 bar back over there. So that hotel, so it's going to be a whole event where you go and show up, meet and greet with all the players. Just three or four names off the top here is you got Hendon Hooker's going to be there with Cedric Tillman and Zakai Ziegler, Julian Phillips, Ben Joyce, Jared Dickey, and man, a list of people, dude. So it should be a very fun event. I mean, what do y'all think about it?
I mean, it's definitely exciting. I mean, first that I can think of where they have some of the stars from all the teams. Even there's some few women's players that are going to be there, it looks like, on the basketball team. I mean, it sounds like a great event. I think it'll be a huge success, honestly, if they get the word out.
I agree. Especially for little smaller kids, I feel like that'd be a great opportunity to meet and talk with some of the people that they look up to. Like, all overall, just be a great event just for everybody involved.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was thinking about the kids, you know, and you really get these kids out here to start to build a new fan base, you know, keep these younger kids locked in as Vols for life, you know, bleeding orange and white, keeping that same mentality. Cause, I mean, this fan base, dude, like I said, it bleeds orange and white throughout the whole state. I mean, every sporting event you see, you can find a volunteer jersey yet, even if we're nowhere even involved.
You got to keep the younger generation involved, because I didn't give up on them, but like, when I was growing up, it was just losing season after losing season after losing season. So, but hopefully it'll turn around soon, but you got to keep some way to keep them engaged and interacting with their favorite players.
Yeah, so this volunteer club is brought to you. It's sponsored, I guess, and run by Spire. So it's something they're also doing to kind of build revenue for these NIL deals. And, you know, speaking of that, they've secured NIL deals now for over 126 athletes of UT's campus. And, I mean, that's totaling $3.6 million in deals for these kids, which is, I'm telling you, something I'm so glad that Tennessee's actually jumping the gun and going all in on and supporting these kids and doing something that it is just groundbreaking throughout college football.
It's a nice change. I remember this time last year, we were all complaining about NIL and how far we felt like we were behind from everybody else. But it's a nice change to feel like we're finally ahead of the gun for once and taking a risk and just trying to get every single program involved better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that they're bringing in a lot of names. And some of these other names that I found are Tamari Key, Jordan Horston, Omari Thomas, Ben Bolton, Bennett Brady, Princeton Fant, Elijah Herring, and Juwan Mitchell. So, I mean, they've got tons of names out there. And, you know, being over there back in that with the Peyton Manning bars and stuff like that, I think is super interesting. Bring some fire to that campus, because I love the energy that's building, you know. Being able to go in there and, you know, thank the baseball players for their season this year and just having just that one-on-one time as a fan is something you don't get to see throughout professional sports. It's just harder and harder to get that personal connection to some of these players, you know.
Some of the basketball players you said, Ziegler, is he it?
Yeah, you got Ziegler and Julian Phillips.
Ziegler and Phillips. Yeah, the kids love Ziegler.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a fan favorite.
You got to think some other dudes are going to be out there, too.
I'm saying, right?
You think Big just Euro's not going to be out there?
I'd like to see how many people actually show up. It's 10 days away. What does that leave that at?
I think it's the 9th of July.
9th of July?
Which is Saturday.
Or 8th or whatever that math lines up.
Yeah, something like that.
But I don't know. That's something to look forward to, you know. As a Tennessee fan, we still got stuff to do over the summer. And at least, you know, I'm glad they're reaching out to the fans and trying to bring a closer relationship to them. But on the other side, I was going to bring up some NFL news, stuff like that. I was looking through, and they released, you know, the top jersey sales so far this season. So your top 10 best-selling jerseys of 2022, what do you think? Just a couple guesses. Who do you think is number one in the jersey sales?
Mahomes.
Mahomes?
I mean, God, I hate to say his name, but Brady.
So Mahomes is actually 9th overall.
Oh, wow.
And Brady is 5th. Your top five, this is kind of, it's not as surprising as you think, just because you think about all the people that moved. So there's just like all these people buying their new jersey. So number one is actually Russell Wilson.
That's true.
Right? You think about it, you're like, oh, that's dumb. But then you're like, oh, I bet Peyton Manning was number one when he switched over to the Broncos.
That's true.
Fans.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So that's number one. Number two is Josh Allen.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, that's, dude, for somebody that we were talking about in the Capital One game when I was on Talk Sports and the Blitz earlier, we were talking about in the match how this is the first time you really got to see Josh Allen as a personality and not just a football player. You actually got to see who he was as a person and, like, how funny he is. And
yeah.
Because he doesn't do a lot of stuff like that. I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes
you
is kind of.
You don't hear much from him.
Yeah, no. And so you got to see that. Which I think is good for his sales and stuff, and he's just become a really big face of the NFL as well. So he's rocking number two.
Yeah.
Davante Adams is 3, which also makes sense, you know.
Get that black Raiders jersey.
That's a nice jersey to have.
Yeah.
I'd like to get like an older jersey. I don't know who I'd get, though.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Did Jamarcus Russell. I just want his jersey so bad.
Probably be free.
All right, number four surprised me the most. Are you ready? Kenny Pickett.
What?
Kenny Pickett, top Steeler 5 Nation. Jersey sales. You know, oh my gosh.
95% from Pittsburgh.
Right? How do you think he does in the NFL? What do you expect? I mean, he's playing in Pittsburgh. So even Mason Rudolph, you saw a little success there where he wasn't terrible.
Do you think he'll be the day one starter?
Who else do they have?
Rudolph. And
they still have Rudolph, yeah, I guess. Right.
Yeah, I think that would be it. don't think it'd be a two-man race. I don't think he'd start right off the
bat. Really? No. I don't know. I mean, if it's between him and Mason, either, you know, way, probably. There's probably a good percentage
chance.
Throw
him to the fire, throw him to the wolves.
Press right. I feel like we'll probably see Mason Rudolph first, but they kind of have a taste of what they have with Mason Rudolph already. I feel like they'd be, with Big Ben retiring, just kind of flip the page, start a new chapter. Just throw Pickett out there, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a defense that can keep him in most games. So he's not really, he doesn't have to stress about, you know, mistakes or anything like that, because even if he makes an early mistake, his defense is good enough to be there to back him up. Weak.
There's a few NFL teams like that right now. The Saints with Drew Brees just retiring. They still have a solid defense.
Man, their offense is stacked around Jameis, too. Right. I mean, he could have a breakout season this year.
He's no Drew Brees, and we just mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have to replace Big Ben, but they still have a really good defense. And Tampa Bay thought they were going to be in the same situation for about a month, but they're set for at least the next year.
Yeah, dude. I mean, God, they signed all their players year by year, basically. But finishing out this list, I guess, you got fifth is Tom Brady. Sixth is Mac Jones.
What?
I know, right? God, I hate people that just knowing. I have
just
that strange
fan
feeling.
Bases, man.
Right, but I just have a feeling that some of these jerseys in these top six places, they're just not going to be around forever. Like, there's no way. I don't see Kenny Pickett being the Pittsburgh Steelers dynasty quarterback ever, right?
Where's Derrick Henry on the list?
He's not even in the top 10. You got Cooper Kupp being number 7. Justin Herbert is 8. Patrick Mahomes is 9. And Joe Burrow is 10.
Hmm.
And I'm going to see if I can find anything outside of the top 10. There wasn't anything on this list.
Where's Stafford at?
I've only got a top 10 here.
Oh.
Let's see. Top jersey sales 2022. Let's see. We can get probably more than a 10. I don't want the NBA.
I figured Joe Burrow would be higher on that list.
See, after his Super Bowl run, but who is a Cincinnati Bengals fan? Like, people are just Burrow fans because he's such a talented quarterback, but I mean, Cincinnati doesn't even have a fan base, really. Like, I don't know any Bengals diehard fans.
No, I don't either, but... Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. I literally attended a Super Bowl party this year for a Bengals fan, dude. His whole family is huge Bengals fans. The first time I've ever seen them. Blew my mind. I showed up, and me being a Browns fan, I was just kind of depressed, but... Because they were in the same boat. We were, like, the year before playing Kansas City in that AFC Championship game.
Oh.
So, let's see. Hold on. Let's see. So let's get to the top 10. The only non-quarterback that made it is like George Kittle or something. He's like in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Looking at the NFL season, what are y'all most excited for?
Me as a Titans fan, I'm still very upset over the A.J. Brown trade. I'd be interested to see what Burks does and – like Derrick Henry will be back to 100% this year. And seeing, hopefully, I would like to see Malik Willis more if Tannehill continues to mess up. So I'm looking forward to seeing
hopefully. Life without AJ for them.
Right, yeah. Seeing what the future holds. Maybe have a Malik Willis, Treylon Burks connection. That'd be nice.
Yeah. AFC West will be interesting to watch all season. What, those four quarterbacks in that division.
Just constantly banging heads, man.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah,
four quarterbacks like that.
I want to see how the NFC unfolds, just how poorly it is. Are you going to have one of those seasons like we've seen?
Yeah,
like,
what do you got, like two
ago?
Teams? Packers and Bucks? You've
basically.
Pencil them in?
Yeah.
And Rams, I guess.
The Rams are the favorite by far, probably, especially with Aaron Donald coming back and then still keeping Cup. Ramsey adding, what's his name, from Robinson?
Allen Robinson,
they added him. I mean, that should be a very interesting season to watch, but the AFC is just a dogfight. And then, I mean, I guess speaking of the AFC, the Deshaun Watson came out of court today, and I guess they're going back for round three tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a terrible story.
Yeah, it's gone from, I guess, looking at a whole season to today. There's been some rumors saying that the NFL's okay with 6 to 8 games.
Like, he needs a year.
That's what they started out saying going in.
I mean, unless his lawyers are killing in court, but it's ultimately going to be what Goodell decides to do.
Do y'all think Dobbs gets some action this year if Baker refuses to play? Well, and Deshaun suspended.
I'm pretty sure they're out on Baker for sure. I'm pretty sure Baker came out and said he's not going to play. So I don't know what goes on in that situation. Do you think
I think he could be successful there though if they gave him an opportunity.
Dobbs
with that run game.
Oh yeah. I mean, but they got Brissett in front of them. You think they start Brissett over?
Oh yeah, I mean they will, but yeah. I mean still.
I'd like to see Josh Dobbs. Yeah.
If Brissett's playing like trash first few games, you might as well throw him in. Shot. Yep. See what he can do.
Every day I wake up and see like Carolina still trying to get trade for Baker Mayfield and stuff, and I'm just like, stop forcing it down my throat.
Just hoping he gets released. I think nobody wants to pay that. No. Even though it's cheap, $19 million for a quarterback. It's nothing.
It's not bad. I mean, they could easily pay for it too. The Browns can. I mean, the Haslam's got money like that. They do it just out of spite, just to spite the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for Baker. You know, I didn't at the beginning of all this because, I mean, you got him as a quarterback that you expected to do more, and he could really only get you to the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, with the team that they built around him, you should have expected at least two AFC championship wins or something maybe, but I don't know. That's a whole – the whole AFC is just a dogfight this year, and I'm excited for football. But we'll take this one more break. We'll come back, and we'll do it all again. Coming up next on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back in. Finishing off this final little hour off here of overtime here. Thank you for joining us today. Right off top, I guess we can discuss Baseball America's 2022 All-American honors. Not a single of all made the first team on their list.
Yeah, Baseball America said nobody, first team.
We didn't get a single first team, but we did get three second team All-Americans in their opinion, with Drew Gilbert, Trey Lipscomb, and Chase Dolander wrapping out that list. I find that pretty incredible that we didn't get a single first team after the season we had, and going out to that first list that they did make, they had in place of Dolander and all them, man, they had some names that I thought that we definitely topped.
Yeah, I mean, we played against a few of the guys, I guess. A couple of guys. Dylan Cruz, LSU, Sonny D at Auburn. I don't remember that Kentucky pitcher they have on there. But, I mean, I recognize some of those names. I don't know the rest of the guys, but I don't know.
That's crazy that chose Chase Dolander after being.
I mean, he should at least be.
He should. I feel like out of those three names, he was robbed the most.
Absolutely.
I mean, clearly the best pitcher of the year.
Yeah.
He dominated.
The best baseball conference in America.
Dominated it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you look at that, but I feel like it's just kind of a weak ranking. I will accept the three second teams, though. We will take
all the
awards.
Maybe they just hate us like a lot of other people.
They do. I mean, really, Baseball America, weren't they the ones that dropped us out of that first seed when we lost that series?
Yeah, when we lost that Kentucky series.
Weren't they the only ones, or one of the two?
Yeah, there were a couple. Dropped us number two in the country.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, so found that pretty odd and just not very fair in our minds, you know, especially out of the season those kids had. You just expected at least one or two of them making first team honors, especially after, you know, the couple other sites that do theirs gave us a bunch of first team honors as well.
So, talking about baseball, let's say Vitello stays here for another 15 years, barring that he doesn't get a huge offer from an MLB team or anything like that. How many national championships do y'all expect in the span of 15 years?
Vitello? Oh, man.
I mean, you can tell how hard it is to win one.
Right.
I mean, we had one of the greatest teams ever. Didn't even get to Omaha.
All right.
So you just don't know when it comes to baseball. Like,
in 15 years, I'd love it, and I can't expect. I could see us getting 2 to 3.
Look at Ole Miss's coach. 22 years, and he just got his first one, and they've had a quality program down there. You know, an Arkansas guy, I mean, we hate him. Van Horn doesn't have one. Arkansas has had a ton of success in baseball. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, I'd love to see a couple. That's for sure.
I could definitely see us getting at least two. I mean, I just don't see our recruiting slowing down, especially with some of the names we've been.
And baseball is one of the hardest ones to recruit because guys can ultimately say, well, I'm going to go play minor league baseball.
Yeah, they can go play straight to the pros. They
yeah,
can,
they
the
can
draft.
Go get their – I mean, but now that NIL's around, hey, come play baseball. We'll give you this money.
I could see college
you're gonna
baseball. You're
going to travel way better. You know, you're going to get all the best amenities.
You
way
do
better
get better
minor.
Amenities than a minor league team does,
yeah,
don't
you're
you?
You're flying.
Yeah. You're getting – wow, that's a
better,
good point.
Better, probably better equipment.
So you're I mean, speaking of that, you expect college baseball to blow up here soon probably.
Well, I'm our UT.
At
I
least,
hope.
But I mean, you expect some of these kids that are going to the draft or getting drafted that are sitting in minor league clubs.
I'm also just excited because you see videos of guys that are going to be on the team next year just killing it in this summer ball.
Did you see those videos of Joyce's brother?
Yeah. Throwing gas.
Gas.
Blake Burke.
Blake Burke yeah. hitting bombs. I think Booker, I think I saw, had some, I think it was Booker. I don't remember who it was, but just, it's going to be another big season. And we got that kid, Maui, you know, going to be that transfer
oh,
from
yeah.
Kansas.
He's going to be a sick shortstop, man. That's yeah. going to be fun to watch him play, too. God, I'm telling you, this is, Vitello's going to keep bringing kids in. So, in 15 years, like you said, if he doesn't in 15 years win one, how do you view our fan base reacting? Because I personally, like you said, what Ole Miss's coach is at 22 years and he's had a yeah. stable, really, he's had a stable, consistent team. He's just never won one, showing yeah. how hard it is to win. I mean, people are talking about trying to even, like, I don't know, you know.
I mean, only one, I think they said only one, well, just one number one overall seed in the baseball has won the national championship.
Yeah. Ole Miss wanted to fire Bianco this year.
I mean, and they were the last one in the tournament.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like those teams that one of those bubble teams in basketball. Like
you just
it's the
catch
final
fire.
Four, right? You just catch fire. You know, so you just it's one of those things you get in, man, you got a chance.
As long as he's getting us to Omaha, you know, once every few years, if not every year. I mean, I expect us to be fighting for Omaha every year, but like you said, baseball is so crazy. I'm expecting at least, you know, super regionals every year. Without a doubt, super regionals, I think, but I don't know. I expect one College World Series, at least one dub in 15 years.
Maybe throw a couple of football ones in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Basketball.
I just
how about all the sports?
Let's just hope for it all. But
yeah.
The energy around camp is just, it's
I mean,
undeniably
finished,
here.
What, number one overall in all sports this year, I think? I thought I saw something about that.
Oh, like the most win percentage, you think?
Or something, yeah. Or something
yeah,
like that.
We had the highest win percentage of all SEC schools. And then we're the first school to win the college basketball SEC championship and baseball in the same year.
Yeah. I mean, sports are really healthy right now. So, I don't know. I mean, basketball's preseason top 10, I think, from early what I've seen. The women's team's preseason 3.
Yeah. She's turned that whole thing back around,
too, man.
I mean,
they just
had
the like, best recruiting class. They got some of the best transfers.
Yeah.
So
our women's basketball team should be something to kind of watch now again, dude. I can't wait for that because our fan base for that team is just dumb.
Yeah, they were hot and cold this year, that's for sure, from what I, little bit I saw. But, yeah.
They're going to be nice this year. They've got the best transfer in the SEC from Mississippi State. She decided to come down here. And you combine that with all the veteran leadership they have coming back, they'll be a nice team. I expect them to do some big things this year.
Oh, that'd be so much fun to get them back going again, dude, because, I mean, that was a pride and joy of Tennessee sports was our women's basketball team and Pat Summitt, and getting that back on top would just – I'm telling you, dude, it's just – there's something about the energy that you feel around campus that you feel in just watching sports, just in these past few months, from basketball going into baseball, even really from football, the way our football season went, dude, even the losses going 6-7, man.
Mm-hmm.
Our fan base hadn't been this excited about an offense.
That's why that volunteer club's going to work out so well.
Yeah.
Especially that event coming up because the town's on fire.
And, dude, and, you know, speaking of just that, Nico has been such a big thing and how friendly he's been with the fan base and how just he's been so a part of trying to create something up here. I mean, people are itching to be good again. And you give them something like the volunteer club to go out and talk to these kids to show them how excited they are I mean, these kids are going to get an upfront reaction to fans of just how excited and important this is to them.
I mean, don't you feel like we're at the good part? You're just trying to get to the great part.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, what we were talking about yesterday, what was Jake asked about, like, how close are we to getting out of that hole?
The museum school. Museum school,
you know,
yeah.
You got that leg over the side. You've kicked it up, and now you're just trying to pull yourself out, and I think you're just right on the cusp of climbing out and just being back into the discussion of relevance, man. I mean, we weren't even relevant, dude. We were just, like, fighting for second and third.
I feel like Texas is kind of near the same boat. They've only had one 10-win season in 12 years.
Yeah. I mean,
and they're on fire right now with recruiting and stuff. I mean, they got Arch, and then all of a sudden
they got
blown
that receiver
up.
Too. Yeah, man.
We've had 10 recruits in 7 days.
Really?
Since Arch signed on.
God.
It's opened the floodgates. Everybody wants to play with Arch.
The Arch effect, I think. That's what we're hoping for Nico. It hasn't really. Maybe it'll start July 4th with Malangoa. And I think there's another guy on the 4th, too, that's committing as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I just – the one thing about Texas, I think, man, is just do you have the feeling – my feeling with Texas is they're just going to let you down again. Because
I don't know about Sarkisian.
Really?
As a head
yeah,
coach.
I just – that's what I'm saying. They who was their coach last? What was it?
Herman.
Tom Herman. Man, you've had the same feeling. They had the same feeling with him.
They've been bouncing around coaches like we have.
Way worse. I mean, they've been bouncing with Charlie Strong to Herman.
Was Strong right after Brown?
I think so.
I think he was, yeah.
Okay.
But was it? Yeah.
I feel like Texas has had a lot shorter leash with coaches than we have. Somebody's not doing up to their standard, he's out of there.
Those boosters don't mess around down there in Texas.
They do not. You said that yesterday, didn't you? You were talking about how that kind of upset you. They gave them two seasons.
Their fall is a little more shocking than ours, if you ask me. Yeah. Just because of all the
Well, because of how successful Oklahoma is.
Yeah.
You would think that somehow, some way, you could build a recruitment off of let's take them down.
And I think that's why they're successful with all those recruitings, because Oklahoma's probably going to take a step back, losing Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams.
Getting all their kids that they're not getting.
They went a defensive coach, you know, the guy from Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not as exciting. You don't hear about Oklahoma at all right now.
You haven't heard a thing.
There's really no buzz around Oklahoma.
Oh, I hate that for that program. I mean, like I said, I don't care for Oklahoma, never really have. But, man, a fall from greatness would be if they just plummeted as bad as Texas did. Because, I mean, what is it, four Heismans? Three Heismans?
For who?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean,
four
they had like
three Heismans in the past 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, Kyler.
Baker.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Did Johnny win it? Manziel?
Hey, it's A&M. He did win it, but yeah, he was A&M.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was another guy at Oklahoma, though, right? Or is it just Baker and Kyler?
Was it just Baker and Kyler?
I could have sworn there was another
one.
I swore
that was one more. But I guess it was maybe Spencer Rattler was.
Maybe I just had the feeling that Manziel was a.
I don't know. I could have sworn that was three.
Jalen Hurts. I think he was a finalist. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. It was Jalen Hurts. That's right.
I don't think he won it, though.
No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't
win it. I think he was a finalist, though.
That's right. I forgot they picked him up, and he just showed them why the Big 12 is just the way it is. I mean, you can just throw for miles down there. But, yeah, man, that sucks if Oklahoma just turns into – because I didn't even think about that, Texas taking all of their recruits. Because that flips that whole Mid-East like landscape. They get all the Texas recruits again now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean
– that's
and they know they're coming to the SEC. They got to throw in some more money. They got to get some talent in there. They're coming to the big boys here soon.
How well do you think that transition goes?
I don't know. I'm interested to see it.
Because like you said, their boosters, they don't play around. That was my knee. I just broke so it again. I tear my knee up back here.
Yeah, I know.
But, funny. Yeah, they're transferring to the SEC. I think just like you said, the
boosters. Well, you're definitely seeming like you're going to be more worried about Texas at this point than Oklahoma.
Yeah, because they haven't even taken a – Who is their head? Their head coach is the – what did you say?
Brent Venables.
That's his name, yeah.
But –
feel like he had better maybe opportunities to go other places over the years, but Clemson was rolling though.
Right. In the past few years, Oklahoma, I feel like they do well in the SEC with Lincoln Riley, how they've been playing, but
he ran away scared.
Right.
He went as far away from the SEC as he could.
It's crazy. Would you have chosen USC? I mean, I know it's an
I mean, if they're going to throw $3 million
school.
In a mansion, I mean, goodness.
With the props they gave him.
The weather.
Right. I mean, how short of a leash is he on?
Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, man. I don't know, dude.
I mean, I think they're going to – I mean, I personally think they'll be all right this year. Pac-12 or Pac-10.
I think they'll be all right. They got Oregon as their main competition. Oregon's bringing in.
I mean, UCLA's garbage. Yeah. I mean, most of those teams are garbage out there. And he's going to have the best quarterback probably in the conference that helps right off the bat. Get the best receiver. I mean, they're going to score points. You know that.
Yeah, you will score points in the Pac-12.
So.
Should be an interesting season.
I'm excited.
I am too. I can't complain. We got one story I found. That's just, you know, just a whap you over the head before we get out of here, guys. In San Francisco, it is raining fish. There are literal fish being dropped from the sky above.
What?
So, apparently there was a giant anchovy population. It went from, like, 52, I guess, or something in the area, anchovies in this area, to about 2,900. And so now, all of a sudden, there's a bunch of seabirds. They're coming in and snagging fish out of the waters. It's all these fish populations.
They got too many to hold on to.
So now they're flying across San Francisco over top of the city and just dropping fish. I haven't found the video for it, but there's people like getting smacked. So some kid was waiting for a school bus, and he said he just started seeing fish fly down around him.
Gosh.
So he almost got knocked out. Said one landed on this lady's roof. So these birds are just flying over the city and dropping fish bombs on people, and they're splattering all over driveways and sidewalks.
Oh my gosh.
That would be so insane to walk out of this booth today and just
get pelted by a
tilapia. Just drop out
you're
the
like,
sky.
You know, we talk about seafood a lot out here. You're just like, man, I could use a good fish today.
Just right in the
just boom.
Oh, my God, a trout. Oh, the beauty of a trout falling out of the sky for me would be so great.
That would be.
But thank you guys for staying with us tonight, for, you know, joining my segment of my show, Overtime with Stack. So thank you. Come back tomorrow. There is something on after this. Overtime on Fan Run Radio is out.